For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. Tithes and offerings. The doctrine of tithing is a part of God's Word, an instruction from God Himself instituted to provide for the maintenance and growth of His church on earth. Tithing was practiced by the patriarchs, perpetuated in the law of Moses, emphasized by the prophets, sanctioned and taught by Jesus, and followed as a practice by the early apostolic church. The Hebrew word translated tithe in the Old Testament as ma'aser, which means a tenth part. In the New Testament, the Greek word translated tithe comes from the root dekatoo, which means to give or take a tenth. Thus, the paying of tithes is a returning of one-tenth of one's personal income to God. The first recorded account of tithing in Scripture occurs in Genesis 14, when Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, following a victorious battle. Genesis 28:20-22 provides another example of tithing in the account of Jacob's vow to God. Nearly 300 years later, when God instituted the law for the children of Israel, tithing was part of the divine instructions. The Israelites were instructed to give 10% of all their increase from their fields and flocks. In Leviticus 27:30-32 we read, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." The tithe was designated for a specific purpose, to support the work of God. The prophet Malachi referenced the extreme importance of paying tithes by inquiring, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." When this charge was brought against the children of Israel, they were seemingly unaware that their failure to bring in the tithe was what had brought blighted crops, physical affliction, and oppression by their enemies. Malachi went on to say, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." When God's people obey His instructions, they find blessings far greater than they can imagine. In the New Testament era, Jesus commended and supported the giving of tithes. He rebuked the Pharisees for not practicing judgment, mercy, and faith, although they were paying the tithe. He stated clearly, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other, the paying of the tithe, undone." He inferred that tithing is expected of believers by including it in the list of commendable things which the self-righteous Pharisee was doing to secure favor with God. The Apostle Paul acknowledged and confirmed the practice by commenting on Abraham's payment of tithes to Melchizedek. The tithe is not the only method outlined in Scripture for the support of God's work. Offerings given in addition to the tithe are also commanded in both the Old and New Testaments. The Lord told Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering." The Hebrew word terumah, translated offering, actually means a free will offering. 3 times a year the men of Israel were to come before the Lord, and they were not to appear before the Lord empty. Every man was required to give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. The writer of Proverbs wrote, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase," and this specifically referred to the minkah, or gratitude offering, commanded under the law. The theme of free will offering is restated in numerous places in the New Testament. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he told the people, "When thou doest thine alms," implying that they naturally would be giving alms. In Luke 11:41-42, he directly instructed, "Give alms of such things as ye have." This was in addition to tithes, for he went on to say, "Ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs." Biblical giving clearly is more than offering one's surplus. In Luke 21, 1-4, Jesus commended the widow who put all she had into the offering of the Lord. He stated that although the widow gave only 2 mites, she put in more than they all, because she gave from her poverty, while the rich men present gave from their abundance. Some principles for offering are found in Paul's letter to the church members in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4, when speaking about the needs of God's people in Jerusalem, Paul instructed the believers to set aside gifts as God hath prospered him, in other words, in keeping with their income. He instructed them to give generously from their hearts, each one deciding before God what amount to give. In 2 Corinthians 8:3, he encouraged generosity, admonishing the same group of believers to emulate the followers of Christ in Macedonia, who gave as much as they were able and beyond. Above all, tithes and offerings should be given with pure motives and an attitude of worship to God and service to the body of Christ. Acts 2:44-47 tells us that the early Christians who gave of their substance to God enjoyed gladness, singleness of heart, and favor with all the people. Those blessings still accrue to those who follow God's word in relation to tithes and offerings. Counsel for ministers. No method for receiving the tithes is prescribed in Scripture. In the Apostolic Faith churches, appropriate receptacles are placed on the wall of the church sanctuary near the entrances, over which a small sign is placed reading Tithes and Offerings. In the United States, receipts for tithes are given for income tax purposes. Collections are never taken in the services.